To think this evening just about introductions, how we would introduce someone. You know, we celebrate Christmas as the coming of Jesus into the world, so we have the gospel writers introducing him. We have the scriptures that we even read tonight from Isaiah, from Micah, from other places in the Old Testament that prophesied the coming of Christ. And now here we have the gospels making their introduction to Jesus and who he is. Now, if you were to introduce someone, and even someone as famous as Jesus, maybe our introduction would be much more boring or simple as compared to the gospel writers. You might say, well, you know, Jesus was born on such and such a date in such and such a place. He was born in Bethlehem as his mother and father, Mary and Joseph, had come to visit, and he grew up to be a carpenter's son. And these are the ways we think of introductions in our day and age. We identify someone by what they do, either an occupation or maybe what their father did, or what their parents did, their social economic class. He was born into a middle class or a low income family. Mary and Joseph were a poor family. He was away from home when he was born, from a small town. And so these are different terms that we use to identify or to introduce someone. But as we read the Gospel of John here this evening, we have a quite a different introduction, not an ordinary introduction. It starts off by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a curious phrase to begin the gospel. A mysterious one. What does he mean? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later we know this Word that he's talking about is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because down in verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the Word that John the Baptist bore witness to. This is the Word that John himself, the apostle, saw and touched and heard. And so this is the introduction to this extraordinary person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about some of the ways that Jesus is introduced here in the Gospel of John, as you think about his coming into the world. This is no ordinary thing. He starts off in the first verse as being introduced as the Word. This is a title of power, a title of truth, a title of revelation, of knowledge. Jesus is this Word that reveals God, that makes God known. And it even harkens back to the Word that begins not only the gospel, but the whole Bible in Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word, when God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so this Word, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, is talking about him being the creator, because he's going to get that in the third verse. That says there is nothing that was made that wasn't made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Very clear that Jesus wasn't a created being. That he existed before the creation, and all things were made through him and by him and for him. This is all packed into that title of him being the Word. We also see here that Jesus is not only the Word and creator, we see he's eternal. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the beginning, when there was no creation, when there was nothing but God himself, Christ was there. The Lord Jesus was there. He is eternal. And even the apostles note this, and even John the Baptist bore witness about this. Down in verse 15, it says, John bore witness about Jesus and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And we know from the Gospels that John the Baptist was born before Jesus. But John, no, he was. And when Jesus speaks, he goes, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is the eternal God. This is how he's introduced. The eternal creator, the Word who makes God known. If you look in verse 4, the introduction continues. And it says, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. Jesus is the source of all life. You're here this evening, living, existing, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of all men, the life of all men. You live and move and have your being in this God who is the Word, the eternal Word, who was coming into the world that we remember here this evening. Not only is he the life in verse 4, but he's the light. Look at verse number 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the light, speaking of his complete perfection, his impeccability. No sin, no guile, no deceit. And the darkness could not overcome him then, cannot overcome him now, nor can overcome him in the future. Jesus is the light. He's all powerful. This is our Lord Jesus that we remember this evening coming into the world. Now, as John continues, as he talks about this life and the light, he reminds us that light and life here in the Lord Jesus was also rejected by his own. Look at verse 11. Talking about Jesus coming and still introducing him, he says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus was rejected by his own creation. And even the Jewish people, God's covenant people, rejected their Messiah, rejected their Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says in verse 12, but to all who did receive him, both then and now, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so we see Jesus here as the Word. He's the Creator. He is eternal. He's the life. He's the light. He was rejected. He was received. Also, verse 14. And this Word became flesh. This is why we celebrate Christmas, the coming of Christ. He took on flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus here is the Son, not that he is somehow separate from the Father, but the same character, like Father, like Son. Jesus, God of very God, taking on human flesh. You know, God is a spirit. In verse 18, John says that. He doesn't have a body like man. We can't see him. We can't touch him with our eyes or physical senses. Look at verse 18. No one has ever seen God. And then he continues, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. And so this Word who became flesh, this Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Son, he has revealed the Father. He has revealed God. He has made God known. This is an extraordinary introduction to who this person is, Jesus of Nazareth, to who this one that we remember even this evening, coming to earth as a baby, born to die, and then to rise again to rescue his people, to bring us to God. This is the introduction to Jesus and his coming into the world. Now, of all these titles that speak about Jesus and his greatness this evening, there's two that I want to focus on. The two that are repeated. Look at again in verse number 14. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God's glory, his magnificence, his splendor, his majesty was seen in the person of the Son, who was full of grace and truth. And then look at me in verse 16. Again, speaking of Jesus, for his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. How's the glory of God seen in the person of Jesus? Grace and truth. What do you remember at Christmas time? Grace and truth. Now, I want to just think about those two words, because we hear grace and truth often, and sometimes we neglect to think about what that really means. You know, how would you define grace? How would you define grace? Grace, according to Scripture, is God giving to us his favor, his kindness, his compassion, and his love. And him doing that when we don't receive it, don't deserve it. Grace is undeserved favor, unmerited favor. You can't earn grace. Otherwise, grace would no more be grace. It's what you owe. But God's love and his compassion and his kindness and his goodness towards his creation is grace. It's undeserved. In fact, we deserve the opposite. It's not fair. Grace is God's ill-deserved favor. Because we have so far strayed from God's righteous purpose and design for who we are to be as men and women created in the image of God. And so God's grace is undeserved favor. It's similar to mercy. If you think of mercy as someone relenting and not giving you what you deserve, they're showing mercy upon you. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. The two go together. God gives mercy and grace in not giving us what we do deserve, mercy, and then giving us what we don't deserve, grace. And it said here in Jesus Christ, we receive fullness from him. Grace upon grace, kindness upon kindness, favor upon favor that we do not deserve. Okay, so grace is one of those things that we see the glory of God. The second thing he mentions here is truth. And if you were to ask, well, what is truth? Truth is, quite simply, that which comports to reality. That which is real. Not just material or physical. But that which is real. Whether material or spiritual. Jesus is the truth. Jesus and his coming is not a legend. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a story that we tell our society so that we might have something to aspire to and so that we can live peacefully. The story of Jesus, if that is what it is a tragedy. And we're pitiful if we follow him. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. The world should pity us if this is not true. But John here is saying that Jesus was full of grace and truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, why are these two things so important? That Jesus is full of grace and truth. And why is this compared here to Moses and the giving of the law? Okay, he said the law came through Moses, but grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. So what's the significance of grace and truth? And even as we compare to the law. As we've already seen in the titles given to Jesus, as him being the Word. What do you do with the Word? You read and you understand, you take in. There's knowledge, there's wisdom being conveyed here. And what is Jesus revealing? He's revealing God himself. Jesus makes known God. That is the truth that Jesus makes known. The truth about God, the truth about his grace, the truth about his mercy. Think about what the law made known through Moses. The law made known the weakness and the brokenness of mankind, our sinfulness, our wretchedness. The law gave us a standard and taught us God's holiness. Love God with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And we all fall short because the law doesn't actually give us the power to obey that which it demands. Through the law, it says in Romans 3, comes the knowledge of sin. Through the law, we realize we fall so very far short to this holy and perfect God. And so through Moses comes knowledge and truth, but a knowledge of man's sinfulness and of God's holiness. And now there's a chasm between God and man. But when Christ comes, and he lavishes upon us grace upon grace. The truth that comes in Christ is that not only is he grace and truth, but he's the way to God. He came to this earth born as a baby, truth, so that he might bring us to God. So that he might die as a sacrifice for sin. So that not only do we have the law, which is a standard of God's holiness, but now we have grace in the Lord Jesus Christ to give us God's kindness and mercy and love so that we are accepted as his children. Not because of our own righteousness, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. This is how the Apostle John introduces the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming into the world, full of grace and full of truth. Truth about man, truth about sin, truth about God. And Jesus came so that he might die as a sacrifice in our place so that we might be brought to God. And now as we consider that truth, and as we consider the grace of God, we're reminded, as John reminds us, that not all receive him. Look at verse 12 again. Or sorry, verse 11. He came to his own creation, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those verses are full of grace and truth. He says here, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, this is the call of Jesus. This is the preaching of the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done. When he calls us to repent and believe, all who respond to Jesus' call to come for forgiveness, God gives them the right to be children of God. This is a grace. This is undeserved favor. This is God's undeserved kindness. And we know it's undeserved because he clarifies for us in verse 13. He goes, these people who become the children of God, who are born into God's family, were not born by blood because of their descent. They're not born by the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, whether your own will or someone else's, but rather this is of God. This is God's grace. This is undeserved. This is God's kindness. And this is why John goes to great lengths to talk about the coming of Christ. The Word became flesh. The glory of God, we have seen it. We have touched him. We have heard from our own ears. Salvation has come to God's people in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the truth. And the grace is that we don't deserve it. And so the question for us this morning, this evening, as we reflect on these truths in John chapter 1, is, do we know truth? Do we know truth? This is not truth that you can put into a test tube. This is not truth that you can satisfy with a Google search or with a YouTube video. This is truth that God has made known in his word and through his son, communicated to his creatures. And the sheep hear the voice of their Savior, their good shepherd. Do you know truth here this evening? And do you know grace? Have you cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness? Do you celebrate the coming of Christ into the world as a reminder of this great salvation that God has bestowed upon you in grace? And so you come to God empty-handed for grace and for mercy. You're believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ because you've been born of God, and you cling to him by faith. It's my prayer that this is your heart here this evening. And if not, it is my prayer that Jesus Christ himself would make himself known to you through his word, and that you would come to see the truth of Christ, the truth of grace, that you would be as excited as John when he introduces the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we remember him here this evening in his coming into the world. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your truth. Oh God, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us hearts to know the eternal creator, the life, the light, the one and only son who has made you known, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of grace and truth. Oh God, save a people for your name's sake, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.